three things that we ought to know. One of the great things that I've learned just from a short time, but even before going to the school preaching and deciding to become a preacher, people are infatuated with learning the most important things about a subject. Have you ever noticed that? Most people want the overview, right? They don't necessarily want to read the whole thing, but they want to get the main points. And I think I remember myself back in college many a times. In fact, I remember in a world English class that we had readings all the time. It was just such a wide variety of what she wanted us to read. And I thought my life was too important that I shouldn't waste my time reading it. So I decided to cliff note, if you've ever done that before. I thought my best bet would, instead of sitting here reading 500 pages before this test, I'm going to just try and get the most important things out. If I just know the characters, the plot line, and the ending, I should be good. Let me tell you, that didn't work well. I did not pass many of those tests, so it doesn't work. That's great for you if you don't have the time to read something. You just want to get the overall idea. Cliff notes are great, but if you're trying to read cliff notes for a test, I'm telling you now, it doesn't work. But when it comes to the Bible, I think there's sometimes we focus so much on the individual verse by verse by verse that sometimes we don't catch the main points of a book. And so this evening, I want us to take a look at the book of Isaiah, and we're going to look at three different sets of scripture. I want us to see three things that all people ought to know about just this life in general, that before you decide to become a Christian, I feel like this is something you should study, these three points. The first one I come up with, if you look in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, is we are not like God. Certainly there's things that are similar, let me emphasize this. God made us in our own image and gave us a spirit, an eternal spirit like Him. But after that, there's very few things that we're like God. And I think Isaiah brings it out. The first thing we need to recognize is, though we think we might be good, we're not to the level of God, and let us never forget that. We are not like God in many aspects. We fall short. And that's what Isaiah has to say in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. We'd like to read those. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You ever read in your Bible, especially the Old Testament, it's still in the New, and you read an account and you think, God is so merciful and kind that if I was in His shoes, I don't know if I would have reacted like that. I read the Old Testament when they're in the wilderness and they're murmuring and they're complaining every turn, and God still continued to care for them over and over again. I've always thought that in my head. I don't like to put my shoes in God's and try to say how I would do things different, but His kindness is throughout this book. His ways are not my ways. His thoughts are not the way I think. And so that's a very important thought to grasp. When we look at God and we look at the things that He has done, He is not like man. Another great instance was when Samuel is is over Israel. He's the judge. And the people come to Samuel and they want to put a king in place. And when you get a deeper look, they don't want to just replace Samuel and his sons. They want to replace God. And they want a king to reign over them like the rest of the world. And God says something very special in those verses of Samuel. He tells Samuel, do not be upset. They're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. And think about that God knew what was going to happen when they had a king. He even tells them what's going to happen right in the next couple verses. And then further than that, even though He knows what's going to happen, He still lets them have their way. Now, when I look at that, you just stand in awe of how much greater God is than us. He's not like us. He's much, much higher. And that's what verse 9 says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I mean, the comparison's huge. From the heavens to the earth, that's the difference between us and God. We're not in the same ballpark. I think that's a common way to put it. We're not anywhere near one another. God is here. We are here. So that's the first big important lesson I think we can learn from Isaiah. We are not like God. We cannot even compare ourselves to Him. Another really important lesson, Isaiah, is Isaiah 59. If you turn there, we'll look at the first two verses of Isaiah 59. And this is the main point. We separate ourselves from God with sin. That's a really important lesson that you need to grasp before you even try to come back to God. You need to understand that no matter how you live your life, sin separates you from Him. And I love how Isaiah starts. He's going to start, and Israel's thought process here was probably, well, why doesn't God hear us? Why isn't God saving us? And Isaiah's going to lay that out. It's not the fact that God can't hear you. It's not the fact that God can't save you, but it's because your sins are separating you. That's why he is not helping in this time of need. Look in Isaiah 59, verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor is ear heavy, that it cannot hear. Certainly, God has shown his strength time and time again. His arm was not it's not the fact that he wasn't strong enough to save them. He had brought them out from Egypt with his arm. He had saved them and sent an angel to kill 185,000 people, army, a major army outside of Jerusalem. Certainly, his arm was capable of saving them. And it's not the fact that he couldn't hear, nor is ear heavy that it cannot hear. God heard them, and certainly he answers prayers today, so it's a very important lesson. It's not the fact that he cannot hear you. In fact, you think back of Elijah's day. He talked to the prophets of Baal when they were sacrificing there, and he sacrificed to God. The worshipers of Baal sacrificed to Baal, and they were going to see who is the real God. And I loved Isaiah. What is he? Is he doing something very important? Is he sleeping? Maybe is that why he can't hear you? That's not the case when it comes to God. He knows everything that's taking place in our life. Isaiah is trying to point out there's a reason God's not saving you right now, and it's not because he can't hear. It's not because he's not powerful enough. Notice verse 2. What's the reason? But your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you. What had been the reason? It's their sin. And the same thing for us. We look at our life and we say, well, why isn't God helping me? Maybe we should look around at ourselves and see what we're doing wrong. Why is it we're separated from God? It's because of us. It's what we've done and what we are doing. So a very important lesson. The last one I want us to take a look at is in Isaiah 53. Again, we all know this passage well. But I want you to really catch this. We cannot fix the first point, nor the second point without Jesus. That's the highlight of this. We are not like God. Christ can fix that problem. In the second point, it's sin that separates us. Christ is the only one that's going to fix that problem. Look at Isaiah 53, verses 4. We're going to look at 4 through 12. But we're going to look at verses 4 and 6 first. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. By his stripes we were healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. I really like how Isaiah words this. You notice the personal responsibility that Isaiah lays on the people of his time, but also the people of our time. You know, when you consider it was our sins that held him on that cross, it means more. When you realize it was our iniquities that placed him there, it was our mistakes, it was our problems, not Jesus. He didn't deserve a death like that, but it was because of us. It's because of our faults. That's why he died on the cross. And it's not just because he died for no reason. He died to reconcile us back to God. That was the purpose. That was the plan. And Paul says that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He reconciled us back to God. You can't fix the first point and the second point without Christ. And it was us that put him there. Verses 7 through 9. Christ, and I think of this as I read it. You know, it's amazing that Christ was silent through his whole trial. But if you ever considered this, he was silent for us. I mean, he certainly didn't deserve that death, but he knew there was no other way. He had to remain silent because we needed him there. Verses 7 to 9. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. He remained silent because of us. He remained silent because we needed him to remain silent. His death was that important. That was his purpose. That was the plan all along. as we see in verses 10 through 12, that was God's will, that he do all of these things for us, because God saw we were not like him, and God saw that we had sin separating us, so God fixed the problem in verses 10 and 12. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors. He bore the sin of many, and made the intercession for the transgressors. I really like verse 10. It was God's will, yet it pleased the Lord. Now, was God happy that Jesus had to die on the cross? By no means. But he knew what that was going to do for all of us. And therein lies the point. God saw the problems in our life, and he sent his son to fix it. This evening, if you still are in 1 and 2, maybe you still think you're not that bad. Maybe you think that you can bring yourself back to God's level. You're never going to do it. Christ is the only one who's going to bring you back to God. The only way you can be like God is being like Christ and being in Christ. The only way you're going to solve your sin problem is by getting into Christ and letting his blood cleanse you. There is no other way. It's very clear in the New Testament how one becomes a Christian. You got to hear the message. You got to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You got to repent of your sins, no longer doing them, but now living a good life and the life that Christ would have you live. You need to confess that he is the Lord and Savior. There is no other. You need to be baptized into water, fully immersed, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. That's the way you're saved. Now the question is tonight, are you going to do something about it? God's done his part, and he's waiting for you to do yours. Might be the case that you are a Christian, but you've fallen back away. Maybe it's sin that you're into again. Maybe you're just discouraged in life and you need help. Come this evening. Make sure your life's right with God as we stand, as we sing.
Hear the sweet voice of Jesus say, come unto me, I am the way. Hearken the loving call, obey. Come, for he loves you so. Only a step, only a step. Come, for he bled for you and died. He's the same loving Savior yet, Jesus the crucified. Open for you the pearly gate, loved ones for you, now watch and wait. Terrible thought to cry too late, Jesus, I come to thee. Only a step, only a step. Come, for he bled for you and died. He's the same loving Savior yet, Jesus the crucified. You're now